look like you got some sun and you look relaxed, huh?
Well, actually, I start my vacation Friday. Council.
There you go. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Fish.
Here.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 1079, request of Andrew Seaton to address Council regarding the sit, lie, and anti-camping ordinances.
I don't see Andy. Please read the next.
Item 1080, request of Lawrence Bishop to address Council regarding the homeless and the sit law.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Lawrence Bishop. My name is Lawrence Bishop. I was homeless for almost 40-some years here in Portland and around Chicago. I'm here as a concerned citizen. I am no longer homeless. I've been off the street for 3 years. I have sat and talked to you, Mayor Potter, before. I give tours in Old Town. I talk about social justice. I talk about the humanitarian part of what we should be doing, and that is we should have a place to have a green space, a safe place. Places are getting lesser and lesser down in Portland, and I can understand because of the building that's going on. But where are they going to go now? You can't be on the Burnside Bridge no more. It's posted, which I could understand. They can no longer be underneath the farmer's market, underneath the Burnside Bridge. They got a big wall. You got about 6 feet. They're being shoved all over downtown Portland, on the other side of the river. All I'm asking is for one space, either in an empty parking lot, something where people can go and be safe. Then we can work on other things that have to be done. But there has to be a place, because they're not cattle, they're not animals, we're human beings, and they need a place to lay their head. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Please call the next.
Item 1081, request of John Michael Bell to address Council regarding Peterson's store.
John Michael Bell. Mayor, Councilman, greetings. I'm speaking on behalf of Doug Peterson. I'm one of his workers that worked for him at the Morrison store on 10th and Morrison, and I worked the graveyard shift. I'm an 8-year military veteran from the Air Force and worked for several government agencies here in town. I went to college here also. My parents took ill, went back east for a year and took care of them and came back. And at the time, I needed to work, and it was kind of hard finding a job at the time. And Mr. Peterson was kind enough to hire me. And I told him I would stay with him, work at nights, as long as he keep me on the night shift. But in any case, it's a safe place that I find. And in the past years that I've been there, it was rough to begin with. There was a lot of people on the streets. And he told me about his concern about keeping the place clear, and the trouble that he have with some of the people that's living on the street. And I voiced my concern to him, too, that I would help him out. I told him about the classes that I've taken in dealing with difficult people. And so in the last 6 years that I've been there, I watched the place slowly but surely clear out some of the people there. I actually went out and talked to them, dealt with them, told them about the agencies around downtown, where they can find help, how they can get off the street. If it's nobody there to tell them or point the way for them, sometime they'll stay there. But in the last 6 years, I watched that area in the three-block radius clear. If you go there tonight, you can see where there's no one sleeping in front of the store anymore. Even in the business that used to be next door, we cleared that out too. That whole block is clear. We got security coming in there. They come in there and say, it's quiet here tonight. What happened to everybody? And we've been working on it. We've been working on it real hard and talking to them. And some of the people respect us because we show them we're concerned. We show them that we care about them. And we tell them where they can go. And instead of saying we get mad at them, saying we'll call the police if you don't clear out, we tell them that they do have somewhere to go. The only time we make the phone calls is if there's trouble, trouble that we can't deal with. And there's a lot of ladies that come there to get stuck downtown. They get off from their job late. They can't make the max on time. And they have a safe place to come into. They make the phone calls to their husband. They call a cab. And they trying their best. And they come in and say, we feel safe here. So I just want to let you know that it is a better place now. 6 years ago, it was rough. But in the last, up to now, it's clear. So if anybody come there tonight, they can take pictures and see that the area is clear. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next name.
1082, request of Douglas Peterson to address council regarding gentrification of downtown.
I'm Douglas Peterson. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. I'm back again to plead my case to keep my newsstand convenience store at the city-owned parking structure on 10th and Morrison. Now that everyone knows more about the case, I think it is more clear on the issues. I'll tell you about myself. I was with Fred Meyer for 24 years. And in the last years, I operated the candy tobacco division within the I was the merchandiser for the candy tobacco division. When I left Fred Meyer, I looked around for a location for my store. I wanted to do a similar store on my own, and I found the location at 10th and Morrison, and it was during the original light rail construction, and the streets were tore up. Morrison was closed to auto traffic. The jackhammers were going, the plywood sidewalks, dust and confusion, and there was a location there that was a former clothing store and had been vacant for a long period of time. And I looked at the future and saw the future, what the max would bring, and located my business there. And I think I'm a good merchant. I have petitions that the copies are set there. These are the new ones that have been, that we turned in today that since, and there's 650 additional signatures. Previously, I've turned in 3,269 signatures. We have overwhelming community support, and we also have the support of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. There are very good comments on the petitions, including good customer service by my employees, and many of my employees are long-term employees that really like their jobs and like working with the public. Now, TriMet commissioned a study for the new bus mall on 5th and 6th, and indicated it called for more urban-centric businesses such as newsstands and 24-hour convenience stores. And our stop at the 10th and Morrison, according to TriMet figures, over 6,000 people get on and off the train there each day, and 5,000 on Saturday and nearly 4,000 on Sundays. That's over 2 million people a year. And with high gas prices, there are actually going to be more people using MAX. And our 24-hour store makes 10th and Morrison a safer stop. Our employees make change for the ticket machines as well as make change for parking meters and phones. Now, some things we've done, and I have some pictures here to share. We've installed cameras and monitors, and we monitor the area in front of the store as well as the outside inside of the store. And we've posted rules of conduct and signs pointing to the TriMet cameras as well as our own cameras that are on site. TriMet security officers monitor the stop during the max hours, and then we've added at our expense a bicycle security patrol that patrols between midnight and 5 a.m. using the same security company as the Galleria uses. And I'm open to reasonable requests for even more security. The other tenants of the building have been given free rent for a year, and if we are allowed to stay and receive the same benefit, we'll donate 30% of our savings to the Oregon Food Bank and challenge the other tenants to do the same. The remaining savings we'll put into increased security, increased staffing, refixturing and improving the store, including installing new tile and counters in the entry area. I'm a downtown booster and want to be part of downtown future. And thank you very much for your time.
Item 1083, request of David Gweither to address council regarding gentrification, Wes Morrison.
David Gweither, lobbyist for the Peterson Group, savepetersons.com. I wanted to quickly recap what you've heard over the last few weeks. Of course, Doug and myself have spoken. Ilsher Handelman, a regular customer in Downtown Observer, brought his insight to it. Jennifer Sood, a store volunteer, never heard of a store volunteer until I got involved here. Gino Elaine did the video presentation, and he also created the website. Very talented fellow, and brought the quite sophisticated study on urban crime to your attention. Jennifer Peterson, who's worked in the store since she's quite young, mentioned her insights, and she has a lot of professional experiences outside of that. Robert Faith invited the city council and the mayor down to the store, and I think some of the council availed themselves of that. Michael Vandeveer, who's a longtime manager, talked about the 4th Street store and how they'd like to upgrade the store that they have there on 10th. Hopefully some of you will get a chance to go down there. Wendell Pilger voiced his fears that something could happen like this to his store, and I have a feeling from talking to neighbors that there are other merchants that are quite fearful, although this situation is somewhat unique. Daniel Friedman he's a downtown's residential council member. He talked on the support of the store. Next week we'll have Mary Moose talking about the disabled, how they not only treat the disabled and with respect, but they also employ them. We're in a very unusual situation here. In reading the material that Mayor Potter made a decision on, and in some ways I understand why he made that decision. Unfortunately, most of this material I found through research is somewhat bogus, and the courts will decide the rest. We're also availing ourselves of council vis-a-vis landlord-tenant rules. So this particular eviction will follow those rules, I hope. I'm not sure if the city attorney is concurring on this. A true friend is somebody who will tell you you're making a mistake when you are. So here I am. And I'd like the council to deal with this. The mayor obviously has some very positive things going on. Congratulations on the bridge, et cetera. And we'd like to see things move forward and be there to help Sam Adams rebuild downtown. I've lived in downtown for over 25 years. I expect to live there a lot longer. Hopefully I'm not part of the riffraff that they're trying to remove. Thank you for your time.
Good. Move to the consent agenda. Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Did you want to poll the audience for pools?
Did any member of this audience wish to pull any particular item from the consent agenda? Now we'll call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 1084, Portland Development Commission 50th Anniversary Commemoration.
This next item is a proclamation commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Portland Development Commission. The last half century, they've helped change and shape the face of Portland. I'd like to welcome our PDC representatives and Chet Orloff from Portland State University. And after I read the proclamation, we'll be hearing from them. This is the proclamation. Whereas the Portland Development Commission was created by Portland voters in 1958 to remove blight and promote the economic development of our city, and whereas PDC has formed 20 urban renewal areas over its 50-year history that have played a major role in making Portland one of America's most livable cities, and whereas PDC has been instrumental in addressing the City of Portland's housing goals to ensure there is a range of housing opportunities and incomes in the central city, particularly affordable housing, and whereas PDC offers a range of services to help small businesses grow and prosper, Whereas PDC has spearheaded projects that have defined and changed the face of Portland, including our parks and neighborhoods, Pioneer Courthouse Square, the Oregon Convention Center, the East Bank Esplanade, and Waterfront Park. And by partnering with the city's private development community and public partners, PDC is contributing to Portland being a recognized national leader in sustainable development. PDC has displayed dedication to decreasing the gap in minority home ownership rates and commitment to first-time home ownership. And PDC is promoting fair and equitable business and workforce practices to ensure minorities, women, and emerging small businesses have a place in the economic growth and prosperity of the city. PDC has invested millions of dollars to make Portland a transit, pedestrian, and bike-friendly city. For the next 50 years and beyond, PDC will continue to make advances in achieving Portland's vision of a diverse, sustainable community with healthy neighborhoods, a vibrant central city, strong regional economy, and quality jobs and housing for all. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the 50th anniversary of the Portland Development Commission in Portland and encourage all residents to recognize its accomplishments throughout the City of Portland. Keith.
Keith Witkowski, Government Relations, Portland Development Commission. As the mayor said, Cheddar Olaf will give a presentation that he gave to our board last month. And before he does that, I just want to, on behalf of all the employees and the board of PDC, thank the council for recognizing 50 years of the agency. It really means a lot to everybody down the street. As we look forward, you know, I've got to think that we've got our best work ahead of us with Executive Director Bruce Warner, with Chairman Charles Wilhoit, and the new council members. I think there's going to be a lot of great accomplishments and great achievements coming up over the next 5, 10, and 50 years. So thanks again.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Potter, Mayor-elect Adams, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Saltzman. My name is Chet Orloff. I'm a historian in Portland, and I'm honored and pleased to recognize that I've been now volunteering for the city for 31 years, serving on 6 commissions and probably several dozen committees, as I know all of you have also. What I'd like to do this morning is give you a very brief, dare I say, almost Monty Python-esque history of our city, and reflect a little bit on the role of the Portland Development Commission and community, which is, of course, a word that we give great weight to in the city. So I'm going to give this presentation, and hopefully you can all see it in a moment. Well, let me briefly tell you what I'm going to be talking about, just to fill the airwaves for a moment. Economic development in this city began in the 1840s, actually even earlier, if you consider the fur trade. But that's often what we think of when we think historically of Portland. But the reality is that economic development here began about 10,000 years ago. If you follow the newspapers with the recent excavations at Kanema out in Oregon City, we're discovering that Native Americans, the tribes, were here practicing trade, international trade, up and down the Columbia and Willamette Rivers. And here we go, almost there. And what I want to do is to put Portland, that's okay, thank you, put the Portland Development Commission into some historical context, and then PDC into the context of our community. I'm not getting it to move yet. No, it's still not working. Well, I will continue apace here. Sending Professor Worth his salt. We need to keep changing gears. So, as I was saying, 10,000 years, a long time, starting with Native Americans and then moving forward very quickly to the 18th century with the arrival of the French, Russians, Spanish, and Americans, and of course the English here, to continue on economic development and international trade. Fort Vancouver across the river, our partners in Clark County, established the international fur trade that further built this part of the country and brought the first settlers here who began to settle as Europeans and Americans in the Willamette Valley in the 1830s and 1840s. At that point, one might even argue that the Portland Development Commission began as the, thank you.
Yay, Carla.
There we go. All right, I will move back very quickly to recap the international fur trade and the international trade network of Native Americans beginning about 10,000 years ago. This was the center for this activity. Lewis and Clark, sent out here by President Jefferson in the early 19th century, with the express purpose of establishing this part of the world as a center for international trade between the growing continental United States and, of course, trade partners across the Pacific. Fort Vancouver following up on that with the land-based fur trade. Then creating this great vision, and we know visions in Portland, this vision of people coming to this part of the world to establish a new life. But it was a life, again, very much economically driven. These were not people with some strange aesthetic idea of what this wonderful place might be, but they were very clear-thinking, hard-minded people, farmers primarily, some miners, but primarily family farmers and merchants who settled this small community on the banks of the Willamette River in the 1840s. Laid its streets out, as we know, in this wonderful 200 by 200 foot block settlement. Unlike most other cities in the United States, a small pattern, thinking as economic development and as real estate developers, which is primarily what the city's founders were all about. By the 1870s and 80s, good morning, Commissioner Leonard. By the 1870s and 80s, the city had continued to grow across both sides of the Willamette River. And if you were to say, well, what was the Development Commission at that time? Well, it was city council. It was the bankers. It was basically everyone who was involved in the community. It was a very tightly organized, visionary group of people. Who struggled hard to maintain a leading role for this city in economic development. Until the turn of the 20th century, when they looked north, saw the threat of Seattle and San Francisco overtaking Portland, and so embarked on that great World's Fair of 1905, the Lewis and Clark Centennial Exposition. A great success, propelling Portland into the 20th century. The city grew by about 50% over the next 10 years after that, resulting in some great planning, visionary planning by the Olmsted brothers, Edward Bennett, others who successively came here as outsiders, however, to help give us a vision and give us a plan. But by the 1940s, after the Depression and after the commencement of the Second World War, Portlanders actually began to believe a little bit more in ourselves and thought we could do as good a job planning and envisioning the city and building it as outside experts.
Jeff,
yep.
That photograph of the ships?
Yes.
Where is that from?
That's out on Swan Island. That's the shipbuilding, Kaiser Shipyards during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Great documentation on that. And a great episode, chapter in Portland history. By the 1960s, 1970s, Portland was recognizing that the great success and growth of the 20th century was having some impacts on the downtown. Congress, meantime, was recognizing that other cities were having challenges with older parts of the city that had grown old and needed redevelopment. And so in a somewhat ham-handed, I'll admit, approach, urban renewal was established in the 1950s. And Portland, along with other cities, as I say, took it on in somewhat of a ham-handed approach. We'll be blunt, I think. We have to be honest. But don't blame the Portland Development Commission on how that early urban renewal effort was done. We would not have gotten the money from Congress in order to do that. That was simply the approach, and the new PDC was given the assignment of carrying out those early steps at urban renewal. But by the late 1960s and 70s, you began to have some visionary planning with the downtown plans such as this and model cities. The requirement of model cities was that you develop neighborhood associations. And this was the origin, to a great extent, of this great neighborhood system of governance, in the truest sense of the word, that we have in Portland. And it's very much the result of the leadership and guidance of the Portland Development Commission working with neighborhood associations. So what I'd like to do is take the next few minutes just to connect PDC's work with the sense of community that we have in the city. There are about 15 or 20 qualities or characteristics or facets of community if you break them down. And I'm going to talk a little bit about each of them. There are certainly more than I'll have time to talk about, but let me just scroll through this list of aspects, characteristics of community, and how the Portland Development Commission has contributed to them in Portland. Public spaces, you can't have great communities without them. And of course, the PDC has led in the development of great public spaces from Iris Fountain to Jameson Square, parks and blocks, open blocks, and Pioneer Courthouse Square and other places. Sustainability. Now a buzzword, obviously, but something that Portland has been working on for more than 20 years and has now, I think, established its leadership in the nation in sustainable development. And again, in projects supported by, to a great extent, in many cases, led in the planning and implementation of by the Portland Development Commission. Retail and commerce. Can't have that without, can't have a community without good retail and commerce. And again, this perhaps has been PDC's first and foremost effort is in jobs and creating commercial and retail zones, which it has done throughout the city. Housing, another element of great communities, in which PDC has played a great role along with the Housing Authority and other city agencies. PDC, of course, taking its own approach, economic development and financial approach to building housing and partnering with other city agencies. Parks and open spaces, I mentioned a moment ago, but parks are such a critical part of the identity of this community that I thought we needed to say it again, reemphasize that. Employment, obviously critical. Again, a role that Portland Development Commission sees perhaps its primary function in creating jobs within the Portland community. Human scale, an important, somewhat neglected quality in many cities, but I think we started off with our 200 by 200 foot blocks, our low buildings design, urban design that we have here. And PDC has recognized that almost from the get-go and built human scale and urban design into its projects. This wonderful picture up here in the upper left of Lawrence Halpern, John Kenward, and Ed Look of the Portland Development Commission in the late 60s as they're designing the Iris Fountain, that four-court fountain in front of the auditorium. Recreation, of course, elemental, but not always done only in parks, but done in our case on rivers and trails throughout the city. Again, program, an effort of the community that PDC has been a great partner in. Education, as a member of the faculty of Portland State University, I feel particularly close allegiance to PDC and its work in helping develop the campus in one of the earliest urban renewal areas, but it's also been involved in many other educational areas right down to the public school level. Health and public safety, again, building, redeveloping hospitals, but also looking at health from a different perspective, and that is how do you prevent disease? How do you create healthy neighborhoods that are healthy from a physical point of view and a psychological and emotional point of view, such as neighborhood cleanups, keeping streets clean, keeping polluted water off pavement, off of yards. Architecture and urban design, I mentioned a moment earlier, Portland is recognized internationally for the quality of its urban design. We're obviously, I think we criticize ourselves a little bit too much that we're not as advanced in architecture as we might like, but I think we fool ourselves. We actually are doing more than I think we give ourselves credit for. And again, that's to some extent due to the committees and the work that PDC pulls together to guide the commission in a number of its projects. The natural environment, maintaining parks, green spaces along streets, and even places such as Ira's Fountain, this wonderful platform, this stage in front of the auditorium that was designed as a sanctuary where you could get down into that park away from traffic, away from the noise of the city, and in a sense recapitulate that sense of being out in the Columbia Gorge. Wonderful playfulness that we've been able to build into our city. Culture and entertainment, again, two critical qualities of community that PDC has been intimately involved in supporting since the 1950s, and continuing obviously up to today with some great projects. Historic preservation, obviously something close to me as a historian, and I've been studying PDC's work in preserving and redeveloping historic buildings and historic districts almost from its beginning. And now it is playing a lead role in establishing new guidelines for historic preservation and reuse of some of our important historic districts. The pedestrian experience, again, as a walking city, critical element in designing pedestrian walkways and designing districts, sense of urban design, so that when you are walking through our city, you don't feel threatened. I was visiting Russia this summer, advising the Republic of Tatarstan, and I can tell you that every time I went out on the sidewalk, I was taking my life into my hands. Literally, I was. And you don't get any sense of that in Portland. Yes, we have our occasional incidences, but we are so far beyond most other cities in terms of a place to walk. Transit, I probably don't even need to say anything because I know all of us know what we have done in interesting ways, even to the tram, something that I think gets criticized far beyond what it deserves. And I think just as with light rail, in 20, 30 years, we'll look back at it as one of the wiser investments we have made. Transit doesn't just involve trains and tracks and roads. It also involves walking and bikes, we know. And again, these are areas in which PDC has been playing a critical role. Communications and public involvement. I mentioned earlier model cities, the role of PDC in helping establish the neighborhood system of planning and governance in this city. And this certainly continues in its practices in developing and envisioning projects. Food, can't have community without food, obviously, and there are several places throughout the city in which the Development Commission has played a role in planning everything from stores to public markets. Sounds and smells, something you often miss in terms of the sense of community, parks, festivals. Think of Pioneer Courthouse Square during the Sandcastle event a couple of weekends ago. Again, projects that PDC has played a great role in. But sounds and smells are one of those subtle things that we often neglect, but are certainly critical to creating the sense of ambience and community. And diversity. Not only diversity in terms of the people PDC brings to the table for planning projects, but also the places in which it operates, and diversity in the kinds of projects in which it gets involved, everything from Chinese classical gardens to light rail to neighborhood development. Leadership, obviously, is a critical element of community, and we haven't had a mayor since and a city council since PDC was established 50 years ago who haven't been very closely involved and supportive of the commission, and I think all of us assume that is going to continue, look forward to it. And I think, finally, creativity, a quality that is essential to great communities. And PDC, as an agency, has, I think, put creativity high on its list in terms of how it develops projects, how it brings the community, elicits support from the community, brings people to the table to help plan and envision what we're doing. So I think that's it. I want to thank you for your attention, and I'd be glad to take any questions if you have any.
That's a great slideshow. Who is the black and white photo of the upper left? You had four.
We had the mayor.
Leadership?
Yeah.
Ira Keller.
That was Ira Keller.
Ira Keller.
Thanks.
Good question.
Chad, is it possible to send us an email with that attachment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will do so.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks, and really want to congratulate PDC on their first 50 years. You've done a great job. Start the regular agenda. Please read item
1109. Authorize an intergovernmental agreement for the creation of the Regional Radio System Partnership.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases, and with me today is Mark Leewergen from the Bureau of Technology Services. And we're here to support a request to authorize an intergovernmental agreement for the creation of the Regional Radio System Partnership, IGA, that is attached to the report. Mark is here to answer questions related to that. I think at yesterday's council work session, I think a lot of the questions that were brought up were answered during that time frame, but we're here to answer questions as needed.
Questions from the commissioners. You must have answered them very well. Do we have folks signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this item.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's an emergency. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1110.
Dedicate a portion of the utility license fee to fund Portland's transportation operations, maintenance, and safety needs.
It's a second reading, vote only. Please call the vote.
Adams.
This is on the utility license fee.
You want to vote yes?
I wanted to, before I voted yes, I just wanted to thank the first and foremost, the council for their willingness to do this. If we realize the windfall energy tax proceeds that we believe are possible, this constitutes nearly a doubling of general fund support for the Portland Office of Transportation and their efforts to maintain a safe and a workable transportation system. So I want to acknowledge the City Council for their willingness to do this. I also want to acknowledge the staff at PDOT who have worked tirelessly over the past year, including, 21 town halls and so far, I'm sure more to come, and over 70 smaller group meetings, especially John Rist and Mark Lear. And Sue Keel, and then my staff, Roland Schapowski, and also Shoshana Oppenheim and Tom Miller. This is this continues. This issue continues, and we're on to the state legislature. Aye.
Fish.
I was not present last Wednesday. I was instead in D.C. Lobbying our delegation on some housing-relating matters. I have had a chance to meet with Sam on this and Ken Rust and hear some of the concerns that were raised and how those were addressed in the resolution. We cannot continue to starve our infrastructure. I am a strong supporter of what the mayor-elect is doing with safe, sound, and green streets, but also appreciate his decision based on the polling not to move forward with that initiative at this time. So as a backup, in order to provide some additional resources, I'm comfortable with this approach, and I vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Seltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1111.
Authorize a $35,884 agreement with the Fresh Alliance for the Oregon Food Bank for a retail grocery rescue program funded by a pass-through grant from the State of Oregon Department of Environmental Quality.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. This is, as it says, we're serving as a agency to pass through a grant to the Oregon Food Bank to support their activities.
Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
I did have one. No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's an emergency. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1112.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Metro to co-host the Special Park Districts Forum September 8th through the 10th, 2008.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an IGA that allows us to co-host a Special Parks District Forum. And it will be co-hosted, the city and Metro and a number of other governments in the region coming up in October.
Anyone sign up to testify on this matter?
We did. One person, Veronica Bernier.
Good morning, Mayor Potter. Good morning, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Sam Adams, and Commissioner Randy Leonard. It's nice to see you this morning. I just wanted to share I'm a graduate from Portland State, alumni of 2005, in community health education. And part of what community health is, of course, our park and recreation department. Part of the lifespan and the vitality of people in Portland is the visible park system. We have over 65,000 trees in Portland, according to former Mayor Vera Katz, who helped plant quite a few of them. We're really blessed with abundant trees and abundant tree life. And I would like to just support this issue, generally speaking, and the forum coming up in September. Thanks very much for listening. And, of course, have a nice walk in the park.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you. Is that it?
That's all signed up.
Okay. Emergency, please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1113.
Authorize a shared use management agreement between the Woodstock Neighborhood Association and the Bureau of Parks and Recreation for Woodstock Community Center.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We recess until 2 p.m.